Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The initial shock, I think, is going to be here for a little while down here in Houston. But, you know, as cooler heads kind of think about it a little bit, I think it was a move that needed to be made. But there's so many interesting aspects to it, because Tucker is only going to be a Cub for potentially 1 year unless they decide to go out there and try and sign him to a long-term deal. So I think that's where, you know, down here in Houston, we've got to temper our anger a little bit in losing a guy like Kyle Tucker, because it was going to be one more year somewhere else, or it was going to be one more year here with the Astros. And I think a lot of it was dictated by what happened with Juan Soto signing that astronomical deal with the New York Mets. So initial reaction is, damn, we lost another good one. But that's what's been happening down here in Houston the last 4 or 5 years.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome to our friends at the Chicago Sports Network. And that's the voice of Jeff Blom, the former White Sox World Series hero, who knows a little something about baseball and is broadcasting for the Astros.
Good synopsis of what's going on, why the Astros were motivated to trade.
Yeah.
And why the Cubs were willing to pounce. And what Jed Hoyer did on Friday was something, frankly, I don't know a lot of us in Chicago thought he was capable of doing any longer. Taking a risk. This is a calculated risk.
It's a bold move.
It's a bold move. It's a great move. It's the kind of move you want your big market team to make. It's the Cubs behaving like a big market team again. And it's announcing the fact, and I guess maybe reminding us, that they will go into the season as the favorites in that division, as they should be.
Well, they gave up a lot for a guy on an expiring contract.
Mm-hmm.
But as you heard Jeff saying there, you know, this is a guy who's got his eye on the prize being the Soto money. So you're getting, you shouldn't get a good year from a good player. You should get the best year from one of the best players.
He should lead you to the playoffs.
And he should put this team on his back.
Yes.
In a way that tells the rest of baseball, come for me. My contract is expiring at the end of the year. I'm worth $750 million.
I don't know if he's going to get that. Well, but he could get that.
That's his message.
The message is very loud and very clear. That's what makes the Cubs trade very surprising, because they are in a position where he could walk into free agency and they could lose him after giving up a first-round pick in Cam Smith, a quality third baseman in Isaac Paredes, and a
who
young
they got
pitcher.
For Morrell.
Christopher Morrell
so
trade.
Morrell.
Yeah. And Hayden Wesneski. to a lesser degree, had been somewhat of a disappointment last year. He gave up way too many home runs.
He wasn't.
Way too many.
He wasn't as Wesnasty.
He was not as Wesnasty.
As he had been.
As he had been, as we had liked him to see him. That was fun. It was a great era, the Wesnasty era.
You know what I liked about him is the energy. He had this like kind of like little jump to him, you know, had this kind of, it felt like nervous energy.
What I liked about him was every time I was at Wrigley, it seemed like before games, he spent as much time with kids and fans as any player that I saw out there on a regular basis.
Get rid of the kind of children player. And presumably this is...
No, this is good for business.
Okay.
This is great for business.
Kyle Tucker will be
Kyle
nice
Tucker. You mentioned Soto. Let's, for a quick minute, just compare the two since 2021. The courtesy of Marquis, who put this out immediately on social media. The 162-game average since 2021, Juan Soto and Kyle Tucker. Soto averaged 34 home runs, Kyle Tucker 35. Extra base hits, Soto 64, Tucker 73. Slugging percentage, Soto 520, Tucker 527. WAR, Soto 6.8, Tucker 6.5.
Does he walk as much as Soto can? Soto can walk any at bat.
He's a grind. Soto, you're right, is very selective at the plate. I have to look at the numbers to look at the walks versus the plate appearances to know that. But the bottom line is that the slug that the Cubs were missing in the middle of that order, they just found some. It just arrived.
Is he the best baseball player in Chicago?
Yes.
Is he the best professional athlete in Chicago?
It's a very good question. It's a fair question. And before he's even like put on a Cub uniform or announced his arrival officially, I think you look at the best athlete in Chicago right now, and the Bears, it'd have to be Caleb Williams. We had the conversation about the biggest star in 5 years, the biggest star next year. Who's it going to be? Kyle Tucker's going to own 2025 in Chicago. I think that's going to be the case. I don't know who it would be on the Bulls. Zach LaVine, you are excited about what he's able to do, but he's also a guy probably going to be traded or going to be shopped. The Hawks, I love Connor Bedard. He had a great goal yesterday to win that game. That was a clutch goal at a clutch moment. I think hockey is...
He's in a slump.
He's in a little bit of a slump, and hockey's still kind of hard for a lot of people to pay attention to, as bad as the Hawks are. The Cubs are going to be in contention. They should be in contention. Kyle Tucker's better than anybody the White Sox have right now. I think Luis Robert Jr. could make a case, but not given the current state of affairs there and given the season he's coming off of. So when you go through the teams as quickly as we just did, that's an easy question to answer. Kyle Tucker is the guy.
So Kyle Teal is less than Kyle Tucker at this moment.
KT, yes.
A lot of Kyles coming to town.
I like Kyle Teal, though. Don't you like everything you've heard about him?
I hear he's a very colorful personality.
He is bright and cheery.
That's a Teal joke.
Yes, it is. Kind of a tweener.
Differently.
Kind of a tweener, isn't he?
I think he'll be fine.
Okay.
If he gets a chance to play.
I love this about the Cubs move, though, because I know it's easy for us to say on the outside, but we love moves, let's face it, that say urgency. We love moves that kind of put the future behind the now and the present. And for Jed Hoyer, as we talked about during the pick six, the future is now. He's entering the final year of his contract.
Right.
2027, he may not be here to worry about what they're missing in Cam Smith if Cam Smith becomes an all-star about that time. But now, 2025, they get to the postseason, they make a playoff run, and they're in contention. Easy to justify Tom Ricketts going to Jed and saying, thank you, well done, come back.
Speaking of Tom, do you believe in your heart of hearts that the Midwest Bank is willing to put out the cabbage for a Kyle Tucker moving forward?
Now, to whiteboard it, you are referring to this as a Midwest Bank, the Cubs operation, because Ken Rosenthal did so in The Athletic.
I was echoing his comment.
Yes, you were. Very tongue-in-cheek.
Very much so.
And it was a funny line. Something between Ken Rosenthal and the Ricketts, family.
He's mad at the
tweaking
Ricketts.
Him a little bit.
He's going after
him. He called him a dork of the week a couple weeks ago.
And he's a guy who wears a bow tie for a living.
That's right. So he would know.
That's all I'm saying.
He would know what a dork of the week looks
like. That's the joke.
That is the joke.
I don't think that that's the case. I wonder if he feels differently about it now that they've made a move for the present. Or does the whole Bellinger to the Yankees thing, the whole idea of them not cutting funds yet, he's basically saying that they're not operating like a big market ball club.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a move that only a big market ball club would make.
Well, in the context of what you're referring to, and it was a funny line, and he was in reference to Rosenthal believing the Cubs now should go after Alex Bregman in free agency. And this is what he said about that potential move. That is the kind of plan the Cubs actually might pursue if owner Tom Ricketts were operating the team as a big market behemoth rather than an efficient Midwest bank.
You know,
it's a good line.
But I'd take an efficient Midwest bank if I could.
You would, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely take an efficient Midwest bank. I am very curious, though, to get back to your question, and it's a good one. I don't know. We'll spend the season debating this. I don't expect the Cubs to be at the front of the Kyle Tucker sweepstakes next offseason.
No, this is a 1 year. This is an expiring contract. The reason that Houston traded him was because they had already made the decision they weren't going to be able to sign him long term.
And I think that's an understandable pivot for them.
And he didn't give them that option because he wants to hit free agency. So the Cubs know going into the year that they have effectively a rental player.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to fall in love with the place. He's not going to say the energy here, the city's beautiful.
But
goodness gracious, the summer in Chicago is awesome.
I hesitate, but I did make the reference before. I said this is the biggest trade the Cubs have made since they acquired Aroldis Chapman in 2016.
What happened with him?
They won the World Series and he walked.
He left.
But he was here as a rental.
Here? Yes.
And it was well worth the effort. It was well worth giving up Gleyber Torres. It was well worth everything that went into that deal. Likewise, the Cubs have got to win the World Series or get to the World Series for this to justify giving up a 3-for-1.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm asking that aloud.
I mean, if they win the division and make the playoffs, you'd love for them to make noise in the playoffs. But I think if they win the division, and that may happen given what's going on in Milwaukee.
Would that justify it? I mean, that's just one thing we're going to have to debate because I think the definition of a successful trade. What makes this trade successful? Do they have to win the division? Do they sneak into the wild card?
No, I think they need to win the division.
If they don't get into the postseason, they now have set this up as a colossal failure.
If that's fair. I think if they don't make the postseason, this is a failure.
Because you just gave up three guys for one.
Because you gave up three.
Now, I get it. I love it. This is an easy trade to get behind. But if you don't make the postseason, it's like, oh my gosh.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Who's next?
It's an easy trade to get behind because Isak Paredes was pretty bad when he came over here. It didn't work out right away. I don't know if it would
work. Deadpool hitter, probably at 35 homers there.
Yeah, didn't do. He'll do much better
in that
there.
Park. Yeah.
Wesneski was no longer considered the up and coming entity. He was now kind of a guy that just didn't quite.
Sweeper wasn't sweeping.
And then I think that Cam Smith is just an unknown. He was a first round draft.
Six straight home runs in six straight games. And that's what he did in minor leagues in Class A last year after signing or getting drafted by the Cubs. He hit home run six straight games. Remember that? Those are the days.
It's good. Even at the Class A
it's good.
Level?
Yes.
Just making sure.
Any level. Professional baseball is professional baseball. That's what the Astros saw in him to make him the center of the deal. Now, let's go back to Chicago. What does that mean? The Cubs are incomplete right now as a roster, but what does that mean initially at third base? I would like it to mean Matt Shaw come on down. There's a suggestion that the Cubs prefer Shaw as a middle infielder, second base.
Yeah.
Does that mean Nico Horner's on the move? If Nico Horner's
a rumor he's going to Seattle?
Yeah. Luis Castillo for Nico Horner. I saw that mentioned. That would be quite a trade.
Who are they trading for Dylan Cease? Who are the names?
I got to look at that. I don't know what the names are.
That would take a lot of.
I have to say, I saw that and I chuckled. I'm like, would the Padres? Why are the Padres trading Dylan Cease?
It doesn't make a ton of sense, but they do spend a lot of money and they do wacky things.
But they just traded for him.
You know, maybe they feel they'll get more. Maybe they feel like they got a bargain on that trade. That would not. I mean, depending on who the Cubs give up, I think we're more familiar with the Cub names than maybe even the White Sox names. I'm talking about the big minor league names.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cubs ended up trading for Dylan Cease and giving up a King's ransom of prospects, I think we'd all look at the White Sox and ask them, why didn't you get that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it if you're a Sox fan, and I think that would be the only way to look at it if you're a Sox fan. I don't know.
It would
if the
be
Cubs,
hard to look at it. If
I do think the Cubs still have enough prospect capital to get Dylan Cease.
Don't they have seven of the top 100?
They do now. One. They still do. But I just don't understand the motivation from the Padres' perspective. Now,
right.
I think the Cubs could use another frontline starter, and that would remove some of the doubts, if you have them, about them being the favorite in the division entering next season. I think they are now. They could improve that chance. Sasaki, Cease, Castillo. My goodness. What if they sign Justin Verlander? Is he still on the table? Dustin, you think he's still on the table? Verlander's still a possibility. They need one more frontline starter. They need a closer. They could go out and buy in free agency. And then we're talking.
Verlander, I know he's a great name and he was a great entity. I don't know that he's still as good. I don't know that how many innings he can eat.
Yeah, I'm not so keen on that idea.
It just gives me pause.
It gives me pause. A lot of pause.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He's probably an injured list waiting.
Yes.
He's going to be there. He's an injury waiting to happen at this stage of his career. Still could have some magical moments left. And he may want to come to Wrigley Field, a place he has always kind of liked it for, based on reports. But I don't know that your offseason is going to make.
Is he 39?
No, he's 42, I think.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
what are you doing?
I think he is old.
Are they going to get visited by the ghost of Christmas past as well?
I think Justin Verlander would be an extra. He was born February 20th, 1983. He will be 42 in February. So
why doesn't he go join Bill Belichick's coaching staff?
See, Bill Belichick made an appearance at the Carolina basketball game over the weekend.
Did he really?
Yes.
What did he say?
He looked just
resplendent
and powder blue.
Yeah.
I thought you would exactly love that.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of good powder blue in your wardrobe.
I've been accused of wearing Honolulu blue and looking like I support
it's
the
now
Lions.
Carolina blue. It's going to be now Carolina blue.
Yeah. Mike has those shorts on still.
He does.
Under his jeans. This whole Haynes thing is made up.
Hey, did you see the Cubs got a catcher as well?
Yes.
Carson Kelly.
Carson Kelly.
So
they've got two catchers. Over
Dustin, during the updates, I think, talked about him. I saw him referred to as well as a backup catcher. He's making $5.5 million a year. I have a 2-year contract. I think $11 million. Is that the going rate for a backup catcher? Is he your starter? Is Amaya in trouble? I don't know.
I think Amaya's the starter. Who else? Didn't they get another catcher? Dustino? Wasn't there another move made earlier? No, they got somebody else. Begins with a T. Is that what I'm thinking?
Carson Kelly is a guy that speaks to us.
He's a definite upgrade for them. He was one of the top four guys available. The backup pool. He's also fantastic against left-handed pitchers.
Oh.
So I think you can already pencil him in to be the starting catcher when they're facing a lefty.
Fifth
That's something
team.
For sure.
It's his fifth team. He's well-traveled.
Mm.
A lot of his backup catchers well-traveled. And I will take your word for it. My guess is that at some point in the conversation, he's going to be known as a good framer. All these backup catchers.
Well, we got Bruce next to get a little deeper on it. I looked at his numbers yesterday during the podcast, and he's really, really good against the left-handed starting pitching.
Okay, so you think he is going to be a
2-day-a-week guy.
Miguel Amaya is...
awful against lefties.
Is essentially a platoon player now?
Well, I don't know about platoon, but, I mean, he's also a guy, like, remember in the beginning with... Contreras, where Contreras would start and then you get to the seventh and they would take Contreras out and bring somebody in as a defensive replacement. Mm-hmm. I think that we might be looking at as well.
You know, now with Kyle Tucker coming to town, it's interesting to see that we evaluate drafts all the time. The 2015 amateur baseball draft, the Cubs now have three of the top 10 players that were drafted.
Hmm.
Dansby Swanson first.
Yep.
Kyle Tucker fifth. Ian Happ ninth.
Wow.
Teammates now on the same team, in the same lineup.
They did. They signed a guy from the Angels, Matt Theis.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about.
I'm just saying. That. They got another backup. He's also a left-hander.
Cubs and Sox are both collecting catchers.
There you go. The Sox are just younger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Better.
All right.